Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm so grateful to be with you this morning. It's been wonderful to meet some of you before service and get to know some of you and even hear some of the stories that some of you shared with me. I just love being in a house of worship. I love the church. I love the Church of the Nazarene. I was sitting there and I was calculating, it's almost 30 years that I've been pastoring with the Church of the Nazarene. My grandfather planted a church in Nazareth, Pennsylvania, before I was even born. And that's where my early years began. My mom and dad and me and my three siblings piling into our 68 Chevelle and driving about 40 minutes each Sunday to worship together. And just incredible memories. And over those years, God has been faithful. God has been good. This morning, I'd just like us to think about that idea of following God. You know, it looks different for all of us, but there are some things about it that are the same. And this morning I'd like to share a few lessons that I've learned about following God, about being a disciple of Jesus. And so let us read together in Matthew chapter 4. I'm going to read verses 18 through 22. And it says, "While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.' Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother. In the boat was Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. And great crowds followed him from Galilee and Decapolis and from Jerusalem and Judea and from beyond the Jordan." It goes on to say, "Seeing the crowds, he went up to the mountain, sat down with his disciples, and they came to him." God, we ask that you bless the reading of your word this morning. Speak to our hearts, not with just human understanding, but with your understanding. Encourage us, inspire us, lead us. Each, Lord, we pray in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. This journey of following Jesus isn't always easy, is it? And sometimes it's not even clear. Right? It would be wonderful. Could you imagine being one of those fishermen that Jesus came up to and said, "Follow me," and then you got to spend the next 3 years literally following Jesus around, right? I think it would have been scary at times, exciting at others, overwhelming at moments. But today we're continually called to follow Jesus without physically having him stand in front of us and lead us, and sometimes that's difficult. I heard your meow book, so I think, are you okay with some humor? I'm a dad of five, and so I'm filled with dad jokes. And so most of them are not funny, but, you know. I heard this story about a young woman, who got caught in a snowstorm, and she was in her car, and she was panicking a little bit about how fast the snow was coming down. And then she remembered that her dad told her that if you ever get caught in a snowstorm, wait for the plow to come by, and when the plow comes by, get in behind the plow, that way you'll be safe to drive. And she said, "Okay, that's what I'm going to do." So she was sitting there in her car and waited, and here comes the plow with its lights on. And so she pulls up behind this plow and starts following the plow. Now, after about 30 minutes, the plow stops, the driver gets out of the plow, comes up to the woman and says, "Excuse me, what are you doing?" And so she told the plow driver what her dad told her. And he said, okay, well, I'm done with the Walmart parking lot. Do you want to follow me to Best Buy? I'm glad somebody enjoyed my joke. So, you know, sometimes it's hard to follow, right? It would be so much better if we could just follow, okay, here, here, here. But life isn't always like that. My journey, I told you, began in Nazareth, Pennsylvania, which is a little bit north of Philadelphia. And that's where my journey began. My first pastorate was in Bethlehem. So yes, my grandfather started a church in Nazareth, and then I served in Bethlehem. And so that's where my journey began. But years later, I met my wife, and God called us to North Carolina, where we helped some churches there and started some new works there, and it was exciting. And then after about 9 years, God called us here to Illinois and the church in crisis in Lombard, and they said, come and help. And so we did, and we love the people there. We're enjoying the work. But then God started stirring in our hearts that he wanted us to shift because there was a new work that he wanted to start. You know, God's always up to something new, right? Now, that doesn't mean he's not still working with what he already had established, but he's always expanding his work. And so my wife and I wrestled with it for a while. What does this mean? What does it look like? And we began looking at, we felt like God wanted us to stay in this district. And so we said, God, guide us, direct us. And so on days off, you know what we did? We drove around. We went all the way down like to Danville. We went, you know, west. We went up north of where we were in Lombard. We went into some of the suburbs of Chicago and just like, It's hard to follow God sometimes. Well, one day, Kiana and I drove after, there's much of the story, but we drove to the south of Chicago, and we're just driving in from town to town, you know, Calumet City and South Holland and Dalton and all those places, and we're like, okay, yeah. And we said, let's make one more stop, and then we're going home. And we drove down this street, random little street, and all of a sudden we stopped at a stop sign. And the Holy Spirit just overwhelmed me. And I just started weeping there at the stop sign. Praise God, there was nobody behind me. And I looked over at my wife, Kiana, and she was weeping as well. And I, in my heart, I felt God say, here. And I, when I looked at her, she said, here. Whew. That's where God wanted us. But now, I have 5 kids. Some of them are older, and we were thinking, okay, God's got to confirm this with our kids. And so we went home, told the kids we got had a God moment, but we want God to speak to you. So we another day, we took them out, and we drove them through some of the towns, kind of a quick route of what we did, and we were praying, God, speak to them like you spoke to us somehow. And when we got to that same community, as we were pulling up to where God spoke to us, our little 6-year-old, Luca, was in the van, had no clue why we were driving. He just thought we're going for a ride, you know. He all of a sudden looks up and yells out, we're here! And we're like, what do you mean we're here? He goes, we're here! And we all just, God just took over that van of ours, and we just, an emotional moment that God spoke through him. He didn't even know what he was saying, but God was speaking to him. And we said, where do you think we are? He said, we're here. Can we get out and look around? Following God. We never know exactly where it's going to lead us. And so you might say, well, where is here? What are we doing? Well, it was just this neighborhood, this community. And so we got a house there, and now we are meeting our neighbors, and we're just getting to know them, build relationships with them, hear where their life is. And we started inviting people to our home and having meals together. And people are telling us their life stories and where they are in life and their journey, where they are in faith. And from that, we know God is birthing a church, starting something brand new. And we're excited about it. So let me share with you quickly 4 four lessons throughout the years of following God that I've learned. Now, I know there are a lot more, but let me just share four lessons about following Jesus. By the way, followers of Jesus are also called disciples, right? It's the same thing, disciples. And the process of hearing God's call to follow him, accepting the call to follow him, and learning to follow him and helping others follow him is called discipleship. Okay? And so, four things that I've learned. One is disciples are called. A lot of times when we hear pastors, we hear of they're called, or missionaries, they're called. But disciples are also called by Jesus. Do you notice that when he came to the fishermen, he said, follow me. He's saying, I'm calling you. Your pastor mentioned it earlier. He appointed them. He's saying, I have a job for you. We, every one of us in here has been appointed. Every one of us is called as in his disciple. None of us are here by accident. God is calling us onto this journey with him. There are 21 verses in the New Testament that refer to Jesus saying, follow me in some form. That was his message. His desire is for all to be saved, for all to come to him, for all to be disciples. Jesus called the original 12, and then he called the 72. Remember in Luke 10, and he said, go out. One day, hearing this passage about, you remember we read in Luke 10 about pray for the harvest, laborers in the harvest fields? For years, growing up, I read that as, I got to come to church and I got to pray that God sends people out. And then it hit me one day as I was growing in my discipleship process that Jesus said he sent these 72 people out, and as he sent them out, as they were going out, he told them to be praying. Praying, God, send more people out with me into this field. So you know what I'm doing? As we're starting this new work in Lansing, I'm praying, God, send more people out into the harvest fields. And then God like expanded this idea to me that God wasn't only calling people and for me to lead people to follow Jesus, but that he also is having me pray that they would become harvesters in the same field as I am. Wow, there's a calling. Jesus is calling us to go into the fields. God wants all to be saved. So I told you, I grew up attending church. My parents were Christians, my grandfather, a pastor. So I was at a church, as a teenager, I attended a church about this size, a Nazarene church, and one week they had a revival services. Do you remember them? You know, like week-long revival services? Back in the day, I remember Sunday to Sunday. You know, and then it got to Friday, Saturday, Sunday. But I love those, and I've actually preached at many revivals, especially when I was in North Carolina. They're still very popular there. But I remember standing on the side. I was right over there, and I had you remember the old videotapes, cameras, you know, they hold the VHS? And they had me over there, says, I want you to record the service. Okay, so I recorded the service. You know, I never watched the tape, and I don't even remember what the pastor was talking about. I'm a pastor, and I can say that. Okay, but God spoke to me that day. He said, I have more for you. And I felt like I've accepted the call to be a Christian earlier in my life, but in that moment, God was calling me to be a disciple, truly go where he leads. And I came to that altar. The Holy Spirit just poured down on me that day and spoke to me. The speakers that spoke there were missionaries, urban missionaries, and they told a story of how they moved into a community and there were people who were on drugs, people were in adultery, all kinds of immoral stuff. But then they began to tell the stories of how this person used to be like this, but now they're changed. And now they're leading a ministry. And now they're helping people who are in addiction. And now they're helping people who are immorality. And I remember God speaking to me that Sunday, or whatever day it was of the week, and said, and that's what I want you to do. That's what I want you to do. There was a call on me that day to be a disciple and follow the way of Jesus to lead others to Jesus. being a disciple. So two, not only disciples are called, but discipleship is cultural. Now, this is, took me a while to figure this out, but do you notice that Jesus said in Matthew 4, follow me. If I went up to somebody and met you, what's your name?
Sean.
If I went up and met you somewhere, Sean, and said, hey, Sean, and you were like, hey, you know, maybe we talk a little bit, and I say, come on, follow me. You'd be like, where? Where are you going? You know, and it wouldn't really have a lot of significance to it, right? We didn't understand it, the cultural significance of what Jesus was saying. Now, some of you are in the generations to know if I said, hey, Uncle Sam wants you, you would know what that meant, right? Culturally? Yeah. What would that mean? Yeah, I want you to come and join the armed forces because there's a need for you to come and serve. So when somebody would say, okay, you know what they were saying? Okay, I'm willing to join and serve and go wherever you're going to have me go and do, right? In the culture that Jesus was speaking, he said, follow me. It had a significance like that. Now, it had nothing to do with the military, nothing like that. But it had cultural meaning. You see, of that culture where Jesus was raised in that Jewish culture that God set up, he set up a culture of multiplication. That was in their minds. It was in their hearts. Jesus is a multiplying God. The Jews understood this. When he made the plants, he gave them seeds so they would multiply. When he made animals, he made them to be able to multiply. He made humans, he gave us the ability to multiply. Look around the room, every one of us was here because we were multiplied from two other people. Okay, right? And Jesus told Adam and Eve, go be fruitful and multiply. He told Noah and his family the same thing, be fruitful and multiply. That wasn't just a physical thing, it's a spiritual thing. We're created in the image of God. God wants us to all be saved, right? And he told the disciples, go and make disciples. Get this, disciples are not just followers who just in a parking lot of Walmart are following. We're called to follow the example of Jesus by making more disciples. That's our calling. That's who we are. He told his disciples, disciples make disciples. That's what disciples do. That's our calling. That's our purpose. That's why our denominational mission is, anybody know? Make disciples of the nations. That's who we are. Now, we might not be going around the world, but we have a calling to make disciples. That's our calling. And so the Jews understood this calling. So everything they did was about multiplication. So even within their trades, so students went to school up until they're around age of 12, where they studied the Bible and literacy and things like that. But boys at around the age 12, many of them would go off then and learn a trade. They would become apprentices. So maybe carpentry, masonry, something, and they would follow a master for so many years with the understanding, not that I'm going to be an apprentice all my life, but that after so many years, I'm going to go off and I'm going to become my own tradesman. But I am also responsible to take in apprentices over the years and then send them out. That's how their whole economy worked. Some students who were good with the Bible, continued to study the Bible under a rabbi, a teacher. And the rabbi would call students saying, follow me. And when he said that, it meant that they were now going to follow, literally follow that teacher, but also with the understanding that one day we will leave that teacher and take disciples of our own, because the apprentices of a spiritual teacher are called disciples. So when Jesus called these fishermen, who were by trade fishermen, he was saying, you're going to put down your nets and I'm going to make you fisher of men. I'm going to transition you within the economy of the world, and I want you to now be disciples who will one day go off and make disciples. So they, in our culture, we don't have that built into our system, into our world system, our national system. But when Jesus said, follow me, every one of them knew that Jesus was calling them to follow. Paul followed that same example. He said, follow me as I follow the example of Christ. So we're called, this is part of the culture of who we are. When I gave my life to Jesus, but when I accepted the call to be a disciple of Jesus, I gave my life, recommitted my life. I call it my sanctifying moment. When I gave myself to God, I felt empowered by God. I stood up at an altar one Sunday, and I turned around, and one of the men from the church came up to me and said, are you ready? Now, I was young and dumb, and so I just excitedly blurted out, yes. I didn't know what I was saying yes to. Then I got thinking, what did I just agree to? And he said, I want you to join me Tuesday night at the Juvenile Detention Center. I do a Bible study there every Tuesday night, and I want you to come. And I said, well, I guess I agree to it, so I'll come. So he had to get me clearance, and I had to go, and then, you know, you had to go through the metal detectors, you have to check your pockets, wave you down, get clearance with ID. You go through one metal door, and it shuts, and then you go to this little room, and then you go into another. I was intimidated as a young man, and led down this hall into this little room, and in there were a group of inmates all dressed in the same color, you know, and they're all looking, and I just was like, I'm way over my head. And my friend Glenn, he shared the gospel with them, and it was just an incredible time. At the end, he said, by the way, I have a guest that's with me today. His name's Michael. He introduced me. And he said, by the way, he will be sharing next week his testimony with you. And I went, oh, what? No. And I said to him, what are you talking about? You're throwing me in. He said, but you have to understand, this is what you were called for. He said, you spent the last 18, 19 years learning what it meant to be a follower of Jesus. You have been discipled all these years. Now it's time for you to share what you've learned with others. This is the culture that he established in my life and the life of others within that small Nazarene church that many of us have been sent out from over the years. So, disciples are called disciples, and discipleship is a culture. Three, disciples are sent. Remember, Jesus sent the 12, Jesus sent the 72. Disciples are not merely I'm going to follow Jesus, but disciples are meant to be sent out. The 12 were not always with Jesus. And later on, he sended and he said, now go, right? And the 72 were meant, he sent them out. Jesus is calling us to other people. And in Luke 10, when Jesus sent out the 72, he said, I'm sending you out like sheep among, anybody know? Wolves, right? Disciples are going out among the wolves. Jesus doesn't want the disciples to be a secluded group. He wanted us to be out among the wolves. Whew. Now, when I hear that, I'm thinking Jesus is saying, you're in trouble. You're going to be in danger. You're going to be... No, he's saying the wolves need us because some of the wolves don't know it yet, but they're going to become sheep. We need to be out there. Jesus sent them out. He goes, I'm sending you out. I know I'm sending you out among the wolves. Pray that some of them become harvesters like you. Pray that they end up becoming like you. So for me, after years of serving at the Juvenile Detention Center, I felt like God was calling me into something deeper. He wanted me to go out and do something, and I didn't know what, and I prayed about it. And another Nazarene church that wasn't far away said that they were looking for somebody to work with teenagers part-time. And I felt like God was saying, this is it, this is it. I want you to go. And I went and I interviewed, and they said, we want to hire you. And I said, this is great. So can I meet the teenagers? And it was like two of them. You don't need to hire somebody part-time. They said, no, we believe that God has placed us in this community with so many teenagers and a high school a couple blocks from here that there is a harvest and we need help reaching them. So we want you to build a youth group. And I'm like, I've never done this before. Before, my audience was a captive audience. They were locked behind bars and they had no choice but to listen to me. So I didn't know what to do, but I felt like God was sending me out. And I remember driving into through the town there and even walking through the town, like, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? They're teenagers. What am I going to do? Just go up. You need Jesus? I didn't know what to do. And then I saw some guys playing basketball, young guys at the basketball courts. And I thought, well, let me go see if I can jump in and shoot some hoops with them. And I did. And it was great. The language was horrible. And the fights were bad. And I just tried to, like, Lord, help me. But every day I would go out there, I would pray, God, bring your presence there and give me the opportunity to build a relationship with at least one. And most of them were like, they didn't even want me to play. But one little young guy, Alfredo, just was like, yeah, come on. And he's doing all these moves around me, and I'm just tall, and I just try to swat anything he tries to shoot. But we built a relationship, and one day I got to talk with him afterwards, and I shared the gospel with him. And you know what? He said yes. He said yes. He was a drug dealer to the other teenagers in that community, and he said yes to Jesus. I learned to never underestimate what God can do. He was the only one. The others didn't want anything to do with me. But he said yes, and so I began to disciple him. Now, just a few weeks later, he calls me and says, can you come over to my apartment? I'm like, what's wrong? He says, don't worry about it. Can you come over to my apartment right now? I said, yes. And so I drove. I'm like, what's going on? What happened? All these thoughts were going, because it's hard to stop selling drugs because you could be killed for that. And so I was kind of inwardly panicking. I drove to his house. I got to the apartment. He opened up the door, and his apartment was packed with young men. They're on the couch. Can you imagine? They're sitting on the floor. They're sitting on the arms of the chairs. They're everywhere. Some are standing in the back, and they're having bowls of popcorn, and they're eating. And when I got there, they just finished watching a Christian movie that he put in his VCR. Remember VCRs, right? And that I showed him, and he goes, they have a lot of questions, and I need you to answer them for them. And that day, almost a whole group of young men gave their lives to Jesus. None of that would have happened if I wasn't sent. If I didn't just go where God wanted me to go. And so I've learned that as a disciple, it's a matter of going in among the wolves sometimes, trusting that God has something planned that I don't fully understand, but it will turn out good. And my last thought, lesson I'll share with you this morning about disciples, are disciples are commissioned. The Great Commission, he said, therefore go and make disciples, right? God has a plan for us. And this is our purpose. This is our commissioning. We follow, but we are commissioned to follow with a purpose. And that purpose is to go and make other disciples. We are not just, here's Jesus and here we are, and we're just a great little huddle with Jesus, but that Jesus wants to create another huddle, another huddle, and another huddle, and another huddle, another church, another church, another church, and another church. That's the work that God is up to. Do you know the number of Christians at Pentecost were thousands, but grew to millions in the next couple hundred years? Because they understood the commission, the work of the Holy Spirit in their lives. Two of the founders of the Church of the Nazarene were Phineas Brazee and Joseph Pomeroy Whitney. And they founded the first Nazarene church in Los Angeles, California in 1895. Any of you part of that 1895 church? No? That church grew in 2 weeks to 85 people. And in 1 year, that church was 350 people. And in 8 years, it was 1,500 people. Now, I never met Phineas Brazee. I believe he was a great guy, but it wasn't because of him. It's because of the work that God did through these men and others and women. But it was also because they understood their commission to reach the lost, reach the poor. Every one of them made a commitment. Lord, here I am. Send me. Use me. I will follow wherever you call me to go. I will go and follow wherever the Holy Spirit leads me. And that's what they did. And if you read the history, there are stories and stories and stories of reaching people that other people wouldn't go to reach. The wolves. So here I am today. Some of these lessons that I learned about discipleship and following Jesus. And here our family is in a community where we didn't know anybody, without a building to meet in besides our house. But we read God did a lot of work out of homes in the Bible and years later. So we said, okay, Lord, where do we start? So we began going for walks in our neighborhood. And we began going, hey, neighbor, we just moved in down the street. You know, I'm Michael, starting conversations. And I shared at the beginning, people have begun to open up, and it's only been 2.5 months. But there are about 125 people in our neighborhood that we've met. My daughter, she's good with names. She writes all their names down and who they are. And thank God for Alessandra. And so when we're going somewhere, I'm like, Alessandra, who's this? And she's like, oh, that's so-and-so. And I'm like, yes, right. So thank God for people that have memories like that. But we go and God's created something that's happening that's beyond us. Yesterday, a woman just said, hi, one of our neighbors. And she said, you know, I'm going through a rough time. My son's in prison. And she just started opening up and sharing to me. And I said, ooh, I'm going to pray for you and encourage you. And I said, you know what? I think it'd be good for you to be a part of a fellowship of people who gathered regularly. She said, you know, I was raised going to church, and I've been away for a long time, but I think it's time. That happened last night. God's doing something. I had no idea what God was going to do. And then when my son said, we're here, it was like that, yes, God confirmed it. And kind of like, oh no, God confirmed it. What are we going to do? Moment. You know, it's hard. It's scary. But it's incredible. And I get to see God at work every day. So when we moved, one of our goals was, God, give us the opportunity this season here to meet somebody new every day. And God succeeded that. It was over 100 people the first 50 days and now 125. And God is faithful. But we got to say yes to the call to follow Jesus. But we also have to understand we're going into a culture of being part of our master, but also being part of a sending out culture. Of going out, and it doesn't have to be large groups, it doesn't have to be starting a church, but send me to somebody, Lord. And we have to understand that this is our call, this is our commission. This is why we are anointed by the Holy Spirit, so that we can be a witness to somebody. That's our commission. So I don't know where you are in your spiritual journey. I don't know where you are in your discipleship process. But I know that you are an answer to prayer to somebody. That right now, somebody's praying, send a harvester to my son. Send a laborer to my daughter. They need you. And God's saying, I have the person. I have the person. They live right next door to them. I have the person. They live down the block from them. I know the person. They work with them. God has a plan for each of us. And I'm excited about it. And I'm excited for what God has done, but what God is yet to do. Let's pray. Lord God, I just want to thank you and praise you for the work that you are doing. You are so good. I thank you for the calling. I thank you that you have a plan for us, a purpose for us that you are calling us into. Help us to live into it. Help us to be willing to go to the people that you'd have us go to. Help us to say yes. Lord, help us to know that we are commissioned. We are You are with us. Your Spirit is with us and will help us. Thank you, Lord. It's in your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, everybody.